Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back. And now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact.
Hey everyone, welcome back. This week marks the beginning of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. On the day before, so September 30th, whatever day that was last week, I was alerted by a member of my Facebook group that another one of our members was murdered. And she was killed by her boyfriend in a murder-suicide. I have since learned that there are 11 murder-suicides rooted in domestic violence per week in the U.S. So I was going to have a different episode today, but I decided that I wanted to spend a little time with this. And there are a few things that I want to talk about. In this woman's situation, I don't know the details of her story very much. I will tell you what I do know. She was a member of our group. She was not active. She had never posted. She'd never shared her story, which did not mean that she wasn't participating and listening and learning. I do know that she had divorced her husband in the time that she was in the group, I believe. And she had embarked on a new relationship. She had ended that relationship. It was the boyfriend who killed her and then himself. She had three small children, very small. She was only 29, by the way. And I believe he had children too. I'm just guessing from looking at her Facebook and her photos that showed the two of them together with, I think, like five or six kids. So I'm assuming that the other ones were hers, were his, but I could be wrong. So the point here is that I don't know anything about what her marriage was like, but I do know that she got into another relationship shortly after her marriage fell apart or she divorced, and that this relationship was clearly toxic and abusive. And when she ended it, he was threatening her, and she had called someone. She called the actually soon to be ex of the woman that contacted me because they were friends, and they were all friends. She contacted him and said, I'm scared. She expressed fear. I don't know if she went to the authorities. I don't know if she had a restraining order against him. I don't know if the soon-to-be ex that of the other woman that she contacted contacted authorities. I don't know what happened. I do know that in cases of domestic violence, you can have all the restraining orders in the world, but someone will, you know, find their way into your home. You can call the police, but how much time do you have? From my understanding from the news reports that are still very vague, and her family has not, I was just recently on her obituary page. You know, they have those, I don't know what they're called, but they have those pages where they can, where they make announcements, death announcements and stuff like that, and people can post their memories. And they did not cite the cause of death. So obviously, there's a lot of information that we don't have. One of the things that I did hear as well is that a lot in the community, a lot of people are saying that he had PTSD, which caused him to go off the rails like this, which is a little frustrating because, you know, PTSD does not cause domestic violence. It certainly is a contributing factor. Let's definitely say that. And it does not cause someone to become a murderer. PTSD impacts someone's ability to manage stress, process emotions in a healthy way, for sure. But it doesn't cause someone to pick up a gun and go and murder another person and then turn the gun on themselves. And, you know, the only person and the only thing responsible for a domestic homicide is the person who pulls the trigger of the gun. I don't want to blame anything other than him. And if he had mental health problems, I am so sorry for him. And if he had PTSD, if he had fought in Afghanistan or wherever it was that he fought and had PTSD from being in the military, then listen, again, this is a systemic issue that we are not addressing. We are not addressing the fact that we, as a society, and we are one of the few developed nations that really does this, we take particularly men and boys, especially boys who are not yet fully developed. The human brain does not fully develop until the age of 25, and we take kids at the age of 18 and we train them in violence and we destroy them with PTSD and we teach them that violence is the answer and is how we solve problems. We destroy their brains before they've had time to fully develop. So in that way, yes, society at large is responsible for creating and perpetuating this toxic masculinity that I will redefine one more time here, because before people start turning this off and telling me that they are saying that men are toxic. No, I'm not. Toxic masculinity is bad for men. Toxic masculinity is when we teach our young boys and young men that emotion, that there's no place in the world for their feelings and their emotions, that having feelings like pain and fear make them weak, make them gay, make them like a woman, all of which we've decided in our culture are like the worst things for a man to be, right? I love it when we're like, that's so gay. Well, okay, so what? Is that bad? Is that, right? You know, you throw like a girl. Okay. Girls fucking kick ass. So, but culturally, we have declared those things to be the worst thing possible. A boy shedding a tear, crying, expressing pain, expressing fear is the worst thing. And so we teach our boys and young men to shove these feelings down. They toxify in their systems. These feelings don't go away just because we push them aside. When you push something, when you shove something under a rug, it's not like they just dissolve. They just make the fucking rug lumpy. And then you start tripping over all the shit that's under the rug. It's dangerous. So all of this stuff toxifies inside of men and boys. And then we've taught them that the best and one of the only ways that they can handle their feelings of rejection, whatever, is to pick up a fucking gun. This is what we're doing to our boys. This is what we're doing to them. This is fucking awful. So on the one hand, you know, yes, PTSD may be one of the root causes, but I would say it goes much deeper. The roots go much deeper than just PTSD. And yet, there is a human being on the other end of that gun who chose to pick up a gun and murder a woman who said that she didn't want to be with him anymore. Domestic violence is about power and control, period. It is the systematic use of power and control. It's the systematic use of various forms, various, you know, things that people do in order to exert power and control over another person. The ultimate in power and control is murder, is let me kill you because I don't want you to be with anybody else. Let me kill you because you rejected me and I can't be with my feelings of rejection. So let me kill you. So there is this duality. Yes, we are responsible culturally for this. Domestic violence is an epidemic. It is a national epidemic that we are just not addressing at its root causes and on a much wider scale. Like, we have got to, this is a national emergency. And it is, all of its roots are in our cultural environment and how we raise our kids, in particular men and boys. And it has to stop, you guys. My God, it has to stop. And we have to become aware. So I'm doing this episode because I want there to be awareness. I want there to be awareness about this. And here's what I want. Here's what I really want, right? I'm so tired of educating victims. I will never tire of educating victims. I will educate victims till probably the day I die. But I want to get at the root of this, right? Because when I'm educating victims, I'm already too late. It's already too fucking late.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos. Really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
But here's where it's not too late, right? So there's a couple of things that, you know, that I want us to do, okay? So the first thing I want you to do if you're listening to this, whether you are a victim or not, if you are a parent, if you're an aunt, if you're an uncle, I don't care. I want you to raise your children differently. I want you to really consider the toxic messaging that you might be unconsciously, because we do this unconsciously, guys. This is not like, you know, because it is so woven into the fabric of our society, it can become very unconscious. So I want you to bring some consciousness back to how we are raising our boys. And I want you to have these conversations in your communities. I want you to talk to your sons about this. I want you to talk to your daughters about this. I want you, like, this is a conversation that has to be had. I want you to have conversations, if at all possible, with your spouses. If you are a woman who is married to a man who demonstrates these kinds of toxic traits, and they, you know, seem to be really unhappy, right? So, you know, there's, if they're like, you know, a psychopath or whatever, then sure, they're not unhappy. They're not going to change. That doesn't matter. But if they seem to be unhappy, then let's start talking about this. You know, let's start talking about the pain that they might be stuffing down, if it is safe and comfortable to do so. And if it's not okay for you to do it, have someone else do it. If you're divorced and you co-parent with someone who is exhibiting these toxic behavior cycles of rage and anger as being sort of the only way to deal with feelings of frustration or hurt or whatever, and parenting, you know, talk to your children. Talk to your children and say, you know, I think maybe dad has a problem getting in touch with the real feelings, his real feelings. And he really only knows how to deal with his feelings with anger. And I don't want that for you because he's not happy. He's not happy. And I'm so sorry that he's yelling at you in that way. And that must be really, really hard. And explain to them why. You know, what might be going on for their dad, not so that they can go to their dad and say, like, you know, mom says this, but so that they can take that to heart for themselves, so that they can learn to be different. If you have a willing co-parent, someone who's willing to learn to parent differently, have them take a nonviolent parenting course. Please, I will put one in the show notes. It's by a company called Echo. And it's their nonviolent parenting course. If you, I'll link to it in the show notes, but even if you can't get to the show notes for whatever reason, and you can remember this, it's Echo, like ECHO. And it is a nonviolent parenting program. It is an online course that teaches you a different way to parent. So that is one thing I want you to do. The other thing I want you to do, I want every single person to become educated in domestic violence. I do a lot of it on this podcast. I do a lot of it in my work. I do it in the Facebook group. I do it fucking everywhere I can. But it would be better if everyone would find a domestic violence advocacy training program in your area and take it. Learn the facts. Learn how to spot things. I became certified as a domestic violence victims advocate in the state of California earlier this year, because I was like, I have got to have as much education as possible. And I learned shit I did not know. I learned a lot. And I did that through a company called Laura's House. And if you want to take it, if you're in Southern California, then definitely Laura's House is the best one. It's a 40-hour training. They do it on like a Friday, Saturday, I think, so that, you know, it's easier for people with work and stuff like that. Or find one in your area, even if it's not a 40-hour one. I think the 40-hour is genius. We all have to become educated. This is not just a domestic violence problem. This is a societal and cultural problem that we have to address. And the more of us who are educated and the more of us who are out here on the streets identifying abusive patterns and abusive behaviors and calling out abuse when we see it and when we feel it, the better. I want us to become a fucking army. I want us to become a fucking army of educated women and men. My God, men, please, please join us. Please. I want us to become an educated army so that we are going like through the world, calling it out, saying it's not okay. Helping other people to identify these toxic behaviors and patterns in their relationships so that they can safely opt out. Now, that brings me to the third thing I want for everybody. I want everybody to know that it is not safe to leave a relationship that feels toxic and abusive to you. I will say that again. That feels toxic and abusive to you. That doesn't mean the other person has to agree that what they're doing is toxic or abusive. They never will. I don't want you to leave or allow anyone you know to leave a toxic and abusive relationship without having made a safety plan. A safety plan is the most important thing. You are in the most danger when you decide to leave. We know this. 75% of domestic homicides occur when the woman decides to leave. And yes, I think somewhere between 87 and 93% of all domestic abuse is at the hands of men towards women. I know that men are abused as well. However, the statistics are such that it is occurring to women by men far more, far more, to the tune of 93%. So, 75% of domestic homicides occur when we leave. And this is what happened to the member of our community who was murdered last week. She ended the relationship, and within a week, I believe, she had been murdered. If someone has ever put their hands on your throat, your chances of being murdered by that person, whether you stay or go, increases by 500%. This means that if someone has taken the step to put their hands on your throat, they've already crossed the threshold. And if they didn't kill you that time, they are 500% more likely to do so in the future, which means that you may not leave this relationship without a safety plan. Now, how do you create a safety plan? You go to your local domestic violence shelter. You don't have to live there. You call them. This is one of the, I think, a thing that needs to be sort of educated about, right? Whenever we talk about, you know, call your local domestic violence shelter, I think the first thing people hear is, I have to take my children and go into hiding and go live somewhere. If someone, if if someone has physically assaulted you, and if they have, certainly if they have put their hands on your throat, then yeah, you may need to do that. It's also very difficult. They are overrun. If that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about how safe women are in our society, I don't know what does. Domestic violence shelters are completely overrun these days. Overrun. So your best bet is to create a safety plan with your local domestic violence shelter. You call them, you say you want to create a safety plan. Not only will they help you make a safety plan, they will also help you. They have legal aid. They have so many resources available to you that can help you move forward and get out of your relationship safely. They will help you talk you through filing a restraining order. If you need to get a temporary restraining order, then they will talk you through it. There are advocates who will go to court with you and will stand with you because when you file a temporary restraining order, then you have to go to court and have a hearing, and your ex or soon to be ex or whatever will have to show up for that. And so that can be very harrowing for a victim to have to stand in court with their abuser. And so it's a very good idea to go with a domestic violence advocate, and your local shelter may be able to help you with that. I'm also going to link in the show notes to a safety plan outline that I have created. So if you need to create a safety plan and you don't have a shelter nearby that's going to be, able to help you, then use the template that is linked in the show notes. And please don't use that instead of calling a local shelter for help. You need advocacy. You need help. So three things so far. We've got talk to your kids, raise our children differently, better. Take a advocacy course if you can. Become a victim's advocate so you really learn the ins and outs of domestic violence. Do not leave your relationship without a safety plan and the help of an advocacy group such as a domestic violence shelter.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
thing, the last thing that I want to impress upon everybody is, and I am aware that by saying this, it sounds like I might be victim blaming, the woman who was murdered. And I don't want to do that. That is not my intention here. But what I, cause I actually don't even know, the details of her story. But what I see over and over and over and over and over and over again, in the Facebook group and, with my clients is, this jumping into a new relationship way too fucking soon. I want everyone to do the work to heal from their previous relationship. If that's, you know, your marriage or whatever, if you have been in any kind of abusive relationship, trust me when I tell you that if you don't do some serious work, education, reprogramming of your brain, you will choose another abusive relationship. That is what happens. That is the science of abuse. This is why so many of us have been in so many abusive relationships, and they look different. Every single one of them might look different. But at the end of the day, they're all abusive. So I'm begging you, even if he seems so amazing and he's so different, and he's everything your ex was not, trust me when I tell you, you're picking with the same picker, and it is damaged, and it might get you killed. Even your ex, who was abusive, seemed so amazing in the beginning. If you think back to how amazing he was in the beginning, you'll realize that this new person who seems so amazing, you don't know them. You don't know them. Please do the work to identify within yourself the wounding, your, you know, attachment wounds, all of those things. Do the trauma work. A lot of this work is in my program, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Even if you've decided to go, that is a great program for healing and making sure that you don't repeat these patterns. But I also want you to be in therapy. I want you to work with a trauma therapist. I want you to work with somebody or a coach who specializes in abuse recovery. Please. That could be me. It could be, Leanne Oten. There's a handful of us out there. And if you know somebody that you connect with, please reach out to them. Please do this work to recover. And then when you're ready and you start dating again, I want you to take it at a fucking snail's pace, because you don't know these people. You don't know someone. You don't really know someone until you've been with them for probably a year, right? It's about at a year that you're like, okay, we've been through all the seasons. The honeymoon period is over, right? That's the most important thing. We all dive in head first. We jump in with both feet, whatever metaphor you want to use, during the honeymoon phase. And we tell them we love them. That's not love. That's not love. That is attraction. It's infatuation. It's hormones. It's oxytocin. It's dopamine. You're addicted to these feelings that you get when you're with the person. And then when you're not with them, you actually have physical withdrawal. That's not love. Those are hormones. That's infatuation. It's lust. But love is what happens when that is over. Love is what happens when that period has subsided and you still actively choose this person every single day because you like them. You love who they are. Your values align. You are back in your right mind and can make these decisions with clarity, right? Like in your right mind. Those first 3 to 6 months, you're not in your right mind. Like you're simply not. You are pumped full of hormones. And you're insane, essentially. So wait for that to subside. And you and listen, enjoy that. Oh my God, enjoy that. Enjoy that time. I am not saying that you shouldn't enjoy it. You should 100% enjoy it. But you should not make any long-term plans or commitments in that time. Enjoy that time. Revel in it. Have amazing sex. All of those things. And I mean, a lot of people would tell you not to actually have sex in those times, but you know, I'm a realist. But don't move in with them. Do not get engaged. If someone proposes to you in that time, you can probably consider that love bombing because they are trying to get a commitment from you when you're not in your right mind, when you cannot think rationally. So you want to move past that point until you actually start to be able to think rationally. And here's the other thing. Don't spend every waking minute with them. Take time. So love bombing is I actually think it's an important thing to define here because I hear people talking about it incorrectly often. Love bombing is not just when someone's like sending you flowers and they're like, you know, saying all sorts of nice things to you and blah, 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 blah. Like, sure, they could be gushing. They could be what my girlfriend and I used to call a little over on. And that may be. And love bombing is when it's done with the design of keeping you off balance. When it's done with the design to not give you the opportunity to think, right? They're getting you in the feels and they're trapping you in the feels. And it's so consistent and so constant that you actually don't have a minute to think rationally. So they keep you in the irrational mode so that they can gain power and control over you. So if you say to someone like this, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the weekend I just want to process. This is all really great. And I'm having such a great time with you. I just want to take a little moment to like breathe and integrate and process all that's happening. And their response should be, great. I love that. I love that for you. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to miss you. Can I text you? Is that okay? Or text me, right? Like if they give you the space that you're asking for. If they don't, if they make a big deal out of it, if they violate the boundary, if they show up at your house anyway, if they text you nonstop, if they make it so that you cannot think rationally, that is an enormous red flag. And that is a symptom of love bombing. So I want you to think about how you are entering your next relationship. So often I hear women say, oh my God, he's everything my ex wasn't. Choosing the not something is not a way to choose something. You are not actually in choice if all you're doing is choosing the not something. Because a lot of people are going to show up looking exactly the opposite of the abuser that you left. And then they're going to end up being exactly the same as the abuser that you left. So please take time to heal. Do not dive in. Do not jump headfirst into another relationship. Please date. Learn about yourself. We learn about ourselves through dating. Right? So when we date and we don't dive into relationship, we just learn so much more about ourselves. And we keep our options open and we keep our brains online. And that's really the most important, is as you go into something new, as you go into the world of dating, that you keep your brain online. I also want to do a plug for the Mend Project, which is one of the sponsors of the podcast. I met Annette Altmans, who you all know because she's been here a million times, because she was doing a training when I was doing my domestic violence certification. And she did the training on emotional abuse. And so they have a wonderful training on emotional abuse. If you just go to their website, themendproject.org, I believe, they will, there, if you look under trainings, you'll find it. And they should have a new cohort starting up again soon. I will keep in touch with them because I know that they had one in August. And so hopefully they'll have another one starting up soon again. It's an amazing training. So again, education, right? This is how we create an army that will destroy this incredible cancer that is in our society. And that really kind of came home to us last week when one of our victims was murdered. One of our, the members of our community was murdered. So that's all I have to say. I'm going to keep talking about this stuff because I'm on a crusade, as you may or may not already know about me. You know, starting off Domestic Violence Awareness Month with this murder and, you know, this conversation it's important. It's really important. So spread the word, my friends. Spread the word, please. Please get educated. Please become an advocate. Please learn for yourself, for others, for everyone, for every woman in the world. Please, please become an advocate.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at the Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.